fate, bad luck, destiny. A power beyond our control that is believed to decide what happens in our lives. An ancient concept which suggests that life is a predetermined course of events meticulously woven by an unseen hand. In the realm of fate, every triumph, tribulation, and encounter is predetermined by a higher power. Every life event is inscribed into our story long before we experience it. In contrast, bad luck is the mischievous trickster in the cosmic play of our lives. Unlike fate, which implies a sense of order, bad luck is the abrupt turn in the road, the unforeseen pitfall that disrupts our carefully laid plans. It challenges our sense of control, reminding us that in the face of sudden chaos, we are vulnerable and exposed. This is the story of Kigan Githua. This is True Crime Kenya.
Family in Ridgeways, Nairobi, is demanding for justice after their kin was allegedly stabbed to death by criminals using motorbikes.
Well, 24-year-old Kigan Githua was attacked while on his way to his uncle's place within the estate before the criminals disappeared with his phone and laptop. Well, this attack brings to three the number of people killed by criminals using motorbikes in the last 2 weeks. Well, these suspects have been arrested in connection to two murders in Donholm and on Oyaki Way.
Welcome to Ridgeways. A picturesque residential estate in Nairobi County, Ridgeways is situated 10 kilometers north of the Nairobi CBD and adjacent to Karura Forest. The quiet streets are lined with stately homes boasting impeccable architectural designs, trimmed hedges, and flawlessly manicured lawns. Ridgeways is considered a safe residential suburb in Nairobi, with professional security guards at every gate, most of whom are employed by private security companies. Most houses have security alarms only triggered by emergencies, and all the entrances into the gated and fenced homes have security barriers. On the beautiful, warm Sunday morning of October 30th, 2022, 24-year-old Kigan Githua and his mother Lucy woke up at around 9 a.m. Kigan, in the process of growing out his afro, had designated Sundays as his hair care routine, wash day. His routine, which involved meticulous shampooing and conditioning, was an indulgence his mother humorously discouraged, wishing he would just shave his head. All done, and with his afro now gleaming, Kigan settled down for breakfast. Despite his desire to unwind after breakfast, the imminent final exam loomed over him, compelling the dedicated student to seek a quieter and more conducive study environment. He placed his laptop into his backpack, picked up his phone, and left for his aunt's house, a short 10-minute walk away, seeking a quieter environment with a faster internet connection. Kigan was halfway down Ridgeways Road when two strange men riding a motorcycle slowed down beside him. Commercial motorcycles, known in Kenya as bodabodas, are a very common sight on Kenyan roads, But before he could figure out what they were up to, the men hopped off the boda boda and Keegan found himself in a scuffle. They violently snatched his mobile phone out of his hand, and realizing that he was being robbed, Keegan fought back, firmly clutching his backpack, which held all his schoolwork, his study materials, and his laptop. It was around 10 a.m., and the neighborhood was awakening, with residents going about their Sunday routines. Two motorists driving in opposite directions on Ridgeways Road witnessed the scuffle and slowed down to see if they could help. On noticing the approaching vehicles, the men panicked, hopped onto their boda boda, and sped off. Shocked and concerned, the motorists scrambled towards Keegan and immediately noticed that he was clutching his chest, out of breath and bleeding. They asked who he was, and he whispered his name, telling them that he was a Ridgeways resident. One of the quick-thinking motorists called the police and an ambulance, while the other looked through his backpack, where she located Keegan's diary, which contained his full name and phone number. The witness dialed his stolen phone's number, looking to confirm that it had been stolen in the scuffle. She was right. The cold-blooded thieves answered the phone, taunted her, and hung up. Keegan was rushed to AAR Hospital, where a team of experts were waiting. They tried to resuscitate him, but it was too late. He was pronounced dead on arrival. The eyewitnesses successfully sent a message through the Ridgeways community via the Ridgeways Baptist Church morning service. They stated that a young man named Keegan had been injured on Ridgeways Road. The announcement asked his next of kin to attend AAR Hospital, where he had been admitted. His uncle, who was at church that morning, rushed to AAR, faced with the devastating task of identifying his beloved nephew and notifying his sister that her only son was gone. A post-mortem examination the next day revealed that Keegan had died of excessive internal bleeding from a sharp force penetrating trauma directly to his heart. At around 12:30 p.m., Lucy Githua heard a knock at her front door. It was not unusual for her nieces to pop by for a visit, and she let them in, immediately noticing their dark, somber mood. Her niece's husband sat close to her, and after some small talk, he told her that Keegan had been attacked. In one agonizing moment, Lucy's world was shattered with the devastating news of her only son's brutal death. Paralyzed by shock, she could not grasp the painful reality and settled into denial, which eventually gave way to overwhelming grief. The community was alarmed that this brutal crime had happened in their neighborhood, much less in broad daylight on a busy public road. A few days after his death, Keegan's family and the Garden Ridgeways Residents Association organized a walk and a vigil to raise awareness in his memory. During the 1 kilometer walk, participants sang hymns, lit candles, and lay wreaths at the murder scene in his memory. Keegan's cousin, Ronnie Kamau Karina, described him as an intelligent, inquisitive, and resourceful gentleman who had secured an internship well before graduating from Strathmore University, where he was due to complete a Bachelor of Computer Science degree. Ronnie stated, quote, "My cousin was an A student throughout his high school. We have lost such a lovely man who connected well with everyone and had achieved a lot in his short life. In fact, due to his dedication and sterling performance as an intern, he had already received a job offer." End quote. In the following weeks, concerned citizens started a petition on change.org appealing to the Transport Licensing Board for urgent reforms to Boda Boda legislation. They called for mandatory licensing of all Boda Boda riders and increased security and surveillance in Ridgeways. At the time of Keegan's murder, there had been an increase in crimes involving Boda Bodas, where criminals frequently posed as riders and passengers to distract victims from sensing danger. The entire Boda Boda transport industry was in need of urgent reform. A 2018 report by the National Crime Research Center, Fighting Crime Through Research, established that some riders are involved in serious crimes such as robbery with violence and have caused accidents that have left many impaired and some dead. In 2018 alone, Boda Boda riders caused 3,877 deaths through dangerous riding and were found responsible for 3,774 thefts. According to Kelvin Mubadi, chairman of the Boda Boda Safety Association of Kenya, criminals had infiltrated their motorcycle transport business. In an interview with the East African Standard, Mubadi stated that on a single day, he received an average of 10 complaints from victims of crimes involving Boda Bodas. He appealed to Interior Cabinet Secretary Kithure Kindiki to expedite the regulation process started by his predecessor, Dr. Fred Matiang'i, to ensure that all Boda Boda riders are registered into SACCOs and allocated designated workstations to make it easy to identify and weed out criminals. Police from the Department of Criminal Investigations interviewed the three eyewitnesses who informed them that the thieves had answered Keegan's phone minutes after stealing it. The detectives also rang Keegan's number and shockingly, the thieves answered it again. When asked if they had taken Keegan's phone, the heartless crooks boldly responded, "Yes, ni sisi, utadu?" Which translates to, "Yes, it is us. What will you do about it?" Motivated to solve the case, the police traced the call to a nearby slum called Githurai and began conducting surveillance on the suspects.
The prime suspect in the gruesome murder of Keegan Githua has been arrested and the killer weapon retrieved, according to DCI detectives. The suspect, named Devon Mboya Otieno, was nabbed on Saturday evening at the Githurai Matatu Termini.
Well, police say the suspect led them to the location where he had hidden the knife used in Keegan's murder. He also led detectives to Dennis Mburu Kimani, the motorbike rider who took him to Ridgeways on the morning of the attack. The rider was arrested in Gomongo area in Githurai. Keegan Githua, a 24-year-old Strathmore University information technology graduate, was stabbed to death on October 30th in Ridgeways, Kiambu County.
After trailing the suspects for about 2 weeks, detectives from Starehe consolidated crucial leads and launched a successful operation to capture the bold and arrogant killers. On 17th November 2022, Felix Devon Odero was apprehended after a weeks-long operation into the murder case. Following intense questioning, Odero led detectives to the spot where he had hidden the knife he used to stab Keegan on the fateful day. He later revealed the whereabouts of Dennis Mburu Kimani, the motorbike rider who ferried him to Ridgeways on the morning of the attack. After an intensive search, police located Dennis Kimani in the Ngomongo area of Githurai. The police approached him and Dennis fled, leading to a dramatic chase across the city lasting several minutes before they finally caught up with him. Dennis's motorcycle was impounded and he was placed under police custody. The police made extensive attempts to arrest anyone involved with the crime and located suspects who had been using the phone as well as suspects who had sold it. This led to the arrests of four more suspected accomplices, namely Kelvin Nganga Waweru, David Kabiaru Njuguna, Jane Wanjiru Githuku, and Paul Mwangi Kimani. The DCI said that they hoped the arrest would bring some semblance of justice and peace to Keegan's family and assured the public that they were working hard to restore safety against the violent crimes that members of the public had witnessed and fallen victim to in Nairobi. The DCI also thanked members of the public who volunteered information that led investigators to the suspects and assured members of the public that justice would be served. The suspects remain in remand, awaiting formal charges and eventual conviction. Born on 3rd June 1998, there is no doubt that Keegan was his mother's pride and joy, an only child deeply loved and treasured by his entire extended family. In her interview on the Lynn Googi show, his mother Lucy humorously described her journey into motherhood relatively late in life.
My son was a precious boy.
Oh, yes.
He's a precious boy. Mm. I got him late in life. And I remember I was 40 years old and I was carrying my stomach, a big stomach in a Nuki, and I had lived there for 13, 14 years. Yeah. And people could not believe I was pregnant. They thought I was just fat.
Yes.
Surely, I'm not a man. I can also get a child.
Yes.
So when he came, he was eagerly awaited.
She lovingly spoke about his childhood and upbringing in Kenya and later in the United States when she and Keegan moved there.
So now Keegan was born in Kenya.
Yes.
And then when he was 3 years old, we went to the States.
Uh-huh.
We went to Dallas.
Yeah.
And there he was just a bundle of joy. I used to get calls by the teacher. Hi, please. Keegan is making too much noise.
Yes.
He's the one standing on the chair in the classroom, eh? Making fun, cartoon, cartoon, cartoon. But he was a sharp boy. I remember school sometimes needed an IQ
yes.
test. We went and had an IQ test and his was just below genius.
She described Keegan's reserved personality and loving nature.
He was an exceptional boy. If I may tell you about it.
Yes.
Keegan was very quiet, very respectful. Okay?
Yeah.
He's the person who does not show you any madharao. Keegan, in the center, he was loved by everybody. Mm-hmm. Because he was, yes, what can I do for you? Yes, what can I do for you?
Oh.
All the uncles, aunties, cousins, and nieces and nephews loved
yeah.
him. So, for it to happen to somebody who is so nice, a nice, respectful, humble, nice man. It hurts.
She described her shock at the benign location of the attack, which occurred on a road Keegan and his family had used numerous times.
Surely, you know what hurts me so much? He walked between these two houses from the time he was 9 years old, because he came back when he was 9, until the other day. So what? Yeah, this is home. So why would you feel insecure in your home, home yard? He's walked here a million times.
Yes.
Why even take an Uber? This is a walking distance.
Yeah.
Lucy tried her best to verbalize the immeasurable loss she has endured as a mother.
Well, it's tough. It's so tough. I lived with my boy, and every day we are together. So every evening, I wake to hear his footsteps coming into the house. Morning shower, because he used to leave me in the house. In the morning, I wait to hear the shower run.
Yeah.
Ah, Keegan is going to work. So it's a void. It leaves such a void that I can't explain. Words are not enough.
Uh-huh.
And I feel so much pain because his life was cut short.
Uh-huh.
And it is not right.
Yeah.
It is not right.
Uh-huh.
So I would not want any other mother to go what I went through.
Yeah, of course.
More than anything, she demanded justice for her son in the hopes that this crime would never happen again.
And, I've had a lot of support from the church, from the community. What we really want now is justice from the courts,
yeah.
For the accused, for them to be sentenced for life.
Yeah.
We do not want to be shortchanged.
Ultimately, Lucy feels that her faith has got her through this extremely dark period in her life. And rather than sink into bitterness, she has chosen gratitude.
I mean, Lynn, I people have different loves, but me, my boy was precious to me.
Yeah.
He's precious to me.
He's your friend?
Yes, he's a friend. He very nice boy, very respectful,
yeah.
Trouble-free, works hard.
Mm.
You can't hope for a better son than Keegan.
Yeah.
So I'm blessed to have been to be his mom.
Yeah.
I am his mom
until
the day I go.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
So thank you, God. Giving me Keegan.
The gift of being
the gift of his life. The gift of his life.
Keegan was laid to rest on 9th November 2022 in Kahuhia, Murang'a County. With crimes of opportunity, some people simply find themselves at the wrong place at the wrong time due to a twist of fate. As we stand at the crossroads of fate and bad luck, it becomes evident that these concepts are not mutually exclusive. Life intertwines the scripted and the spontaneous, the destined and the accidental. So the real challenge lies in learning when to credit an event to fate's grand design and when to acknowledge the unpredictable hand of bad luck. In the end, we have no choice but to lean on our human ability to find meaning, purpose, and even beauty in the complex web of destiny and chance. Some of us choose to believe that every unexplained event happens for a reason, while others are okay with the notion that we will never know why, and we don't need to. It's not our job to. We are simply here to experience life. At Keegan's memorial service in Ridgeways Baptist Church, his cousin, Rena Hicks, made a touching tribute in his memory.
When the kingdom comes, because the kingdom is coming, this is not it, guys. nothing that was precious to you in this life will be lost. No memory, no event, none of your story or theirs, nothing is lost. How could it be lost? It's all held in the safe. It's all held safe in the heart of an infinite God who encompasses all things. Held safe outside of time in the treasuries of the kingdom, which transcends yet honors time. This will all be given back to you at the restoration, just as surely as your sons, if you've lost a son, your daughters, if you've lost a daughter, your friends, your father, your mother will come back to you. Nothing is lost.
Rest in peace, Kigen Githua. And our deepest condolences to your mom, Lucy, and the entire family. Wewe kijana mbaya, dunia ina mambo, dunia ina mambo, dunia ina mambo. True Crime Kenya is produced by Petra Media. Research, writing and editing by DM Noor. Narrated by DM Noor. Theme song by Just a Band. Thank you for listening. Stay safe. Dunia ina mambo, dunia ina mambo, dunia ina mambo bana, dunia ina mambo.